Happy Mother's Day to the mothers out there. Thankful for them. Have a wonderful mother, still with us, still in fighting order, you might say. My mom, just a brief, speaking of mothers, I know mothers will be spoken of most of the day, and that's good, nothing wrong with that. My mom is what you would consider, I would consider a fighter. Now, you just kind of see her from a glance. She's the sweetest thing you ever meet, but you don't want to rile her up or push her in her corner. You will lose. So it's just one of those things. But she had a lot of spunk, a lot of patience. I'm alive. That's proof enough. There were seven of us in our family. And I probably took the lion's share of the patience out of her. So when we have our kids and say, you know, you want to watch the kids. She said, I had my kids. I watch my kids. You watch your kids. You know, it's one of those things. I did my duty. I am retired. But now she loves the grandkids, loves her children. But she was quite a mother, still is. And thankful for her. And we should be thankful for our good, godly mothers. And speaking of that, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Proverbs chapter 31. We'll get started right here in the heart of things. I don't normally, I rarely speak on mothers, but it's a fitting for today. And like I said, it's a jewel according to scriptures. And so they should be honored and reverenced in their place and their role that God has given them. I believe that role, according to scriptures now, based off of scriptures, will play a major role throughout all eternity. And I know some religions don't teach that, but I love the scriptures. It's pretty clear on that, and you'll find this role throughout all eternity. So here we have them, have us today. And if you have your place, Proverbs chapter 31, this is a famous passage of scripture, and we're going to look at some verses here. Notice with me in verse 10, we're going to notice some attributes of a godly mother or here a godly woman. But this woman here that is described, she is a mother. And we have some things we want to mention. And then I want to get in and show four mothers that fit this type in Scripture and in our short lesson this morning. So if you have your place, notice with me. In verse number 10, it says, who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. One of the things, and I'm not the greatest, not by any means a great theologian, but rubies is not man-made. It's one of the few stones that is not man-made. It's God-made. And so rubies is actually, if you go looking to buy a ruby, maybe one of your ladies in here might own a ruby. I think my wife did. At one time, we had a break in entry. I don't think we own it anymore, but it was passed down from her grandmother to her mother to her daughter, one of her daughters, and one of her daughters would mail it and give it to Alice. Alice wears it for a couple years, and then she sends it to one of her other sisters, so one of those kind of things. So you might have something like that, a family heirloom or something, but a ruby, rubies are not cheap. They're not a cheap stone, really any of the stones out there, but rubies has a unique, if you look them up, they're very rare. I think one of the rarest on earth, if I'm not mistaken, and I could be corrected on that, but her price, it says, is far above rubies. You're not going to find a verse in the scriptures that where it says a man's price is far above rubies. Matter of fact, far from it. But here you'll find that a woman's price, a virtuous woman, is her price is far above rubies. Quite an amazing. Now watch verse 11. We're going to see she is a trusted woman. And we're speaking of this type or what God desires for every woman to be. Okay? And so you say, well, I don't stack myself up to that. Yeah, but you can have the potentials to be because we're reading about it here. And you sure can. You might surprise yourself. Well, how others perceive you. But here we see she is a trusted woman in verse 11. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her so that he shall have no need of spoil. That means he's not going to be taken advantage of or something that he might have is destroyed. She has, she's got enough sense where she don't bring no man or anything to spoil. She is trusted. And it's a wonderful thing to have a mother or a wife that has that value or that level. And it's a good thing. That's something you have to work at. And you say, well, I thought these women are just born this way. They're taught this way according to Titus and according to 1 Timothy. You teach the younger women these virtues. They're taught You're not, you didn't, that's not, doesn't come in your DNA or your genes. Your beauty might, but your intellect or how you conduct yourself, it's taught. These things are taught. And so it's very important. That's why when I look and think of my mother, the things that she has taught me, she has diligently taught me. My mom had a wonderful career in the medical field before she had children, just for a short time before she started having children. And she laid that aside. Some women can, some women decide to, some women decide not to. Just in her case, she laid it aside and she wanted to stay in the home. And of course, today in our society, in our culture, a single income family, that's hard. That's very hard. You're going to do without a lot of stuff. But we thought, and they thought it necessary to be in the home. And so I'm thankful for that. That was a great sacrifice that was never thrown up in any of our face. It was just that's how they wanted it done and how they thought that they could do that best. So that's a sacrifice on behalf of the children to teach the children a way, how to prepare for life. So when one day when she lets go, my mom would always tell me, I'm not teaching you to hold on to you. I'm teaching you so you can function in this world without me. And she knows, I know one day you're going to train up to leave. You're going to go. You're going to have your own life and own family. And the more you know about how to handle a family or your life, the affairs of your life, the younger you are, the better off you have, a better opportunity, a better chance at surviving this dark and evil world that we live in. And yes, I understand we're blessed with America, blessed with a free society, and that is a wonderful thing. But mothers, her price is far above rubies, a virtuous woman, it says. And you see here, she is a trusted woman. Notice with me in verse 12 as we move on, we see here she does good and not evil. Notice this is another attribute of her. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. Just not on Sunday, just not on Wednesday or certain days. It's a consistent pattern that this woman has, a virtuous woman. Notice with me in verse 13, she's industrious for her family's sake. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. And so notice here that she is somebody who has a set skill, not just in doing something, but able to think industriously. She's able to seek things and to procure things that are needed to make a profit. And so that is a good thing. Today's society, our society, I know because of the people you deal with in my generation and younger, they're not taught certain things. It's just left out. And it's sad. And you see the moral fabric, you see the business fabric in young people's life, it's fragmented. It's hardly not even there. And it needs to be taught. It's a must to be taught from the Word of God. And so we see here, not only is she industrious for her family's sake, but in verse 14, she finds food for her family. Notice this, she seeketh, or she is like the merchant's ships. She bringeth her food from afar. I thought that was quite interesting. She's diligent about the food that is in her home and who actually gets a portion of it. Notice verse 15, she works late hours. This is true. A lot of you women, men, you know, we'll put out a good 8, maybe 10 hours and then we're totally done. At least I am. I'm, you know, crawling around on the couch or the bed trying to take a nap before I go to bed, something like that. And Allison's still plugging away, folding clothes, making dishes, working for tomorrow's end. And most of your ladies probably do the same thing. She riseth, watch this, verse 15, she riseth also while it is yet night and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. So she is very diligent and she works late hours. This is a virtuous woman, and The saying, I'm going to get a little fun in here. The saying is, finding what replaced the 10 good men is one woman. And there's some truth in that. A woman by far will outwork a man. I don't mean that maybe digging ditches, although there's probably some out there that can. Hey, but a woman will outwork a man. Men by nature, I know tendency, a lot of them, not all of them, a lot of them have a lazy tendency. I didn't know there was ladies out there that had a tendency to be lazy, but as a whole, the woman, a virtuous woman, will outwork a man 10 to 1. And I know most of you ladies agree with that. You can say amen right there. Let's move on. All right, now look at verse 19 through 25. She is busy providing clothing and other needed items. So she is definitely, she's the caretaker, if you see, or has a certain role, a major role in the home. I believe from Scripture, she has a major role. Listen, when a woman, even a virtuous woman or any type of woman, steps outside the realm of the role that God has given her, and by the way, our society is quickly erasing those lines, that role that God has given you, a man can't do. Most women can't do, but you have a role that you're supposed to fulfill. A man has a role, according to Scriptures, to do and to fulfill. And when a man steps out of that role, he's, number one, disobeying God. He's in rebellion with God, and things are going to quickly fall apart for him. And it's same for the woman. If she's outside of that role or supersedes that role, not that they can't. A lot of times you see them supersede that role and go into other roles because they're good at that. But God designed it a certain way to work the best. And here you're seeing this. There's a lot of responsibility that's placed on this lady here, this virtuous woman, this mother, if you please. So here we're going to notice some things, verse 19 through 25. He said, she layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor. Yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She marketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Wow, that's high end. That's high end today. You know, if you get something that's made out of silk or purple. 23, her husband is known in the gates from when he setteth among the elders of the land. She maketh fine linen and selleth it and delivereth girdles into the merchants. This is asked a lot about a lady. Well, do you think a lady is fit to have a job or a career? Right here, you're looking at a woman that she's a virtuous woman, and her role, she has that. Everything there, she has. But you notice she's a multitasker. You don't really see men, I guess, can, but not. It didn't seem to be as well as a lady. And I'm not just saying because it's Mother's Day. My mom's not even here. But what you're seeing here is you're not going to see a verse or a chapter in the Bible that actually describes a man this way. So she maketh fine linen, verse 24, and selleth it and delivereth girdles into the merchants. So she has quite a role she is playing here. You can really break this down and develop these things into principles, into traits that are to be found in a virtuous woman or a mother. All right, so we see here she speaks with wise words. Notice verse 26. Let me read 25 through 26. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and her tongue is the law of kindness. That man, wow, that is a virtuous woman. In verse 27, we see something else. She is not known for idleness. She is not known for idleness. Idleness found in a child, idleness found in a man, idleness found in a woman is not good. And here it brings it up, dealing with the lady, a virtuous woman. Verse 27, she looketh well to the ways of her household and eateth not the bread of idleness. So she is not an idle lady, not given to things that don't do her a profit or bring somebody else a profit in her home. It was a private conversation kind of as having with my brother, and was speaking of marriage and how the roles are played. And I said, look, I was telling Titus, I said, look, you know, when you play chess, I play a little chess. My brother, Todd, he plays chess every day. He's one of those kind of guys that has one of those numbers. You know, he's like 2,700 or 2,400 rating or whatever. Anyways, he plays chess. But one of the things you find in a chessboard, you can have all the pieces you want on the chessboard, but when you add that queen on the chessboard, those that understand the game of chess, that is one of the most powerful pieces on the board. And you could be down to a couple pawns and that king still hadn't been checkmated, and you make one of those pawns reach the other side and you change in that pawn for a queen. That's the first thing everybody wants when they lose their queen. They want that queen back. That changes, the game's pretty much over. If you can think a little bit farther, if that guy's got that queen, you got two pawns, you just fold that king down and say, okay, let's play another game. But the queen is very powerful in her position. Same way in the home. And the thing of it is when you begin to see and understand it and it's taught that way, the women, you begin to look at, well, I want to be just like a man. Why would you want to be like some stinking man? I don't get it. But women are far, 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 right here, far, far better laid out what they can do versus a man than trying to compare themselves to men. And so I don't think a lot of women who try to compare themselves with men. Be a woman. The role that you've been given is wonderful. It's powerful. And a lot of cases, more powerful than what God had given to the man. Here you're seeing this laid out right here in this chapter, many places in the Bible. The Bible is not silent on this. The Bible is not silent on this. Now watch this. So verse 28, notice she is praised by her children and husband. So there's going to be praise given. Imagine if you had a mom like this. Some of you might have. I know I did, somewhat like this. And so she's praised. Her children are not going to speak evil or ill will of her. You might not agree with her 110%, but when you think about what she's done, you're like, well, hey, no, she was a good mom. She was a great mom. And then her husband speaks well of her. Notice verse 28. Her children arise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praiseth her. So you have praise, a virtuous woman. A mother like this is definitely worth her price is far better. That's why God put it far above rubies. And notice with me now in verse 20, she cares for the poor. I notice that she also reaches out. She has her heart extends farther than her family or her household or her domain. And you notice her domain touches every part or every facet of life. If you look and study this out, she is not limited. She is very powerful position here given to a woman. Verse 20 now, we did read it briefly, but she cares for the poor and those in need. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor. Yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. You'll find predominantly that women and womanhood, they have more of a heart for those that are in need or that puppy that's been, you know, on the side of the street that needs, you know, somebody to care for him or feed for him. You'll find more often than not the lady or the woman is going to care for that or have a heart quicker to help or to lend or to aid. And so this is what this is speaking of here. She reaches out far above just her domain. Notice something else here. She is not known for idleness. We've seen that. She is praised by her children and husband. She fears God. Notice within verse 30 at the end here in Proverbs 31. Favor is deceitful. Listen to the verse very carefully. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain. But a woman that is feared or feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. So you might have be able to get a lot of favor from people. Be careful. Generally, favor comes if it's man, coming from man, not from God, coming from man, there could be some deceit with that. Just to play or position you right where you need to be so they get more work out of you. Or whatever the case might be. It might be something else they're after. All right? So be careful of favor. And it says beauty is vain. A lot of women have beauty. They're blessed with beauty. Most generally, women are more, well, I'm a guy speaking this, so I'm kind of biased. You know, women are more attractive than guys by far, but they'll have beauty, but it says beauty can be vain. Be careful of the beauty because it can be vain. It's not a bad thing, but you're going to have some trouble. Most generally in today's age, you know, if you're beauty, they're going to exploit it. If they can. The world loves doing that to our young women, and I think it's sad. It's a wonderful thing to be beauty and to have beauty, but the world destroys it. They do not know or understand that gift that's given from God. But it says, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. And so fearing the Lord, it seems to be the dominant and the best attribute that a virtuous woman has, other than beauty and then being able to have favor among the people she works with and among. Here, lastly, we'll look at four ladies. Now, Jochebed, those that remember and understand and know who Jochebed is, had the courage to save her children in Exodus chapter 2. We won't turn for the sake of time. I'm watching the clock. God allowed Jochebed to raise three children, that is recorded, that made an impression on the world spiritually. And so you have Moses, who was probably the young. You have Aaron, and you have Miriam. If my mind serves me right, Miriam. Yeah, here they are: Miriam, Aaron, and Moses. And so she had these three children. Remember when Moses was born? At that time, the Pharaoh, he was wanting to kill all the male boys that were born in that time period, and so they hid him out in the reeds. They put him in a little ark, the Bible says, and they hid him out. And Miriam, his older sister, watched him. And one thing led to another. The Pharaoh's daughter found the child. And I like the neatness of what Miriam do. Would you like me to go get a nursemaid for this baby? And she went and got the mother to the baby. That's thinking. You know, I don't think I'd have been that smart. I'd have been happy to be alive. But she thought that far ahead. And so one thing led to another. The mother ended up raising that child for the daughter of Pharaoh. And so you sure that mother, the virtuous mother, if you had one, she's going to teach him about his people. She's going to teach him about the ways of his people and the God of his people. So you see that unfold even in Hebrews. When you look at Hebrews, how that he chose to suffer the affliction with his people rather than have the riches and pomp of Egypt, Moses did. And so, but here you have Jochebed, a mother, a wonderful attribute of a mother. God gave Jochebed a burning desire to see her children live for God. Her name means Jehovah is our God. If you want to know what Jochebed meant, Jehovah is our God. God used Jochebed to save the life of Moses. She sacrificed for her children. And so you see that. Another lady I want to look at is Hannah. We know Hannah. Remember, Hannah was barren. And she was probably at the age where you probably would have a child. And she wanted a child. And she was in a state of wanting a child. And she had quite a bit of flack from the other lady that was married to her husband who was having children. And so she was kind of derided there. But she went before God. She went to the temple and prayed before God. Hannah knew that God would change the situation as he pleased. And so she made a vow. She made a vow before God. And when you make a vow before God, you better pray to God in your life that you can keep the vow that you promised God. Very careful about making a vow to God, because I know this dirty flesh, I know my dirty self and what I really am. If I'm not able to make that vow, God, when you make a vow to God, God's going to make sure you keep it. Take your Bibles, turn to Ecclesiastes. We're kind of here. We were looking at Proverbs. Ecclesiastes is right there, right behind Proverbs there. Ecclesiastes chapter 5, notice with me in verse 4, this is kind of a viewpoint on the vow. And so Hannah kept her vow to God. You say, can people keep a vow? Yeah, they can. Just know when you break a vow that things might not go very well. And God expects you to keep a vow if you vow God. To him. So here Hannah kept her vow to God, and Samuel became God's preacher in Israel. Now Ecclesiastes, if you found your place, chapter 5, notice with me in verse number 4. When thou vowest a vow unto God, defer not to pay it. For he hath no pleasure in fools, pay that which thou hast vowed. If you make a vow before God, sometimes people get sincere and honest, and there's nothing wrong with vows. But when you're making one to God, you better pray that you keep it. God remembers those things. It's not that it can't be forgiven. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying you better be dead serious all the way through with that vow. Hannah was, and this is a picture of, can somebody do it? Yeah, a lady here, she vowed to God, and she wanted a child. If you give me a child, she said, I'll give him back to you. And she didn't mean that in the sense that we mean it today. Sometimes we'll dedicate children. We got a little bit, I don't know, might be a little bit different take than pastor. I don't know, not to get on that. But when you give a child to God, it means you're raising that child to serve God, not to raise a child to do whatever it wants. That child goes back to God. And so you're going to do everything in your power to make sure that's what happens to that child. And so you understand these vows, these things that you dedicate to God, that's for the rest of their life. That's not just for the year or that God keep them safe or healthy. That's the rest of its life. And so here, make it very serious at various times. And anybody that's flippant about stuff like this doesn't understand Scripture and has no clue about the sincerity and the honesty and the seriousness that God takes these things as. So it's to be remembered and to be taken seriously, especially a vow. So we see here that Hannah was a woman who did what she told God. She raised him, weaned Samuel, and then took Samuel back to the temple and gave him to Eli. Now, when you think about the situation that Eli was in, or Samuel was in, Eli didn't really conduct himself very well. He should have, but he didn't. He had two sons that were corrupt and immoral. So it was not actually maybe the best place for a young child to be raised in. But guess what? God protected him. God used him to bring judgment. God used him to bring light to Israel. And he is one of the greatest prophets that you'll read about in the Old Testament is Samuel. Say, who is Samuel? Samuel was that one that was vowed from his mother to go serve God. And he did. And he did that all his days. You can read about that in Samuel, 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel. All right. So we see, moving on now, let's look into the New Testament. Take your Bible, turn to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy, we'll look at another mother here, a virtuous woman. And the virtuous woman, remember, her price is far above rubies. And sometimes people have different definition. What a virtuous woman. We just read what a virtuous woman was in Proverbs 31. Sometimes people get out of the context a little bit with that. Just stick with Scripture. Just go right back to Proverbs 31, start reading what she does, what she doesn't do. And that will describe to you that type of woman. So 2 Timothy chapter 1, notice with me verse 5. We'll start here. We'll get some context. It says here, when I call to remembrance, this is the Apostle Paul speaking to a young man here, Timothy. He says, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. So we find here a couple of ladies here, a grandmother, Lois, and then Eunice, actually Timothy's mother. And Paul had probably spent some time with Timothy's mother and grandmother and found that, look, they had some attributes here, some good ones, and it was an unfeigned faith. An unfeigned faith, that means not fake, not void. It was real, it was true, is genuine. And so he said, I perceive that it's also in thee. And so we see that this just isn't, like I say, part of your DNA or your makeup or your gene pool. This is something that's taught. It's taught at an early age, taught at a very early age. And so we see here, let's move on, 2 Timothy 3. Look at, notice, chapter 3, and we're going to read a verse here. Let me say this. We do not see her husband named in the scriptural account of this, when you study this. But Eunice still trained Timothy spiritually. Her husband, if you remember, if you do some studying, was Greek. We see Eunice had a godly mother named Lois. So Eunice had a mother, Lois, and she was a godly mother. So Lois probably taught Eunice, and Eunice is teaching Timothy. And so you see here the succession here. Timothy had a godly heritage. The scriptures refer to Timothy as if he was instilled with spiritual truth in his childhood. That is the time to get spiritual truth into young people, is their childhood. When you reach 14, 15 years old and people want to right or wrong, their mind's pretty much made up at that time. Bingo. Some people's aren't, but pretty much as a whole, as a general, that's about where you say, where do you begin this? 1 and 6. Between ages 1 and 6, that's your best learning time, learning curve to develop that. I got to watch my time here. We'll end here. But in 2 Timothy 3:15, it says, and that from a child, verse 15, thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Jesus Christ. So here you have Eunice, who was a godly mother. And lastly, I want to dwell on Mary. Mary was probably the most unique mother in the Bible that you can find. Mary was committed to God's will. Let me read my passage. You're going to find this in Luke 1, verses 38. Mary was called to give birth to the divine Christ child, her Savior. Scripture says, Mary was calmed when she understood that this was God's plan, the gospel plan. Jesus Christ was to come in the flesh, and he was to be the Savior of the world. Mary was submitted to God's will for providing a Savior. And so we see this in Luke 1, 46 and 47. 46 says this, I'm Luke 1, verse 46. And Mary said, my soul doth magnify the Lord. And then verse 47 says, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. Mary had been illuminated, had been enlightened by what God or Jesus Christ was here, and she played that role. No man played that role. Man didn't play that. A woman played that role, and through the seed of the Holy Spirit. And so that is the fourth mother we look at this morning. There are some wonderful mothers in the Bible. There's wonderful mothers here today. I had one. I'm thankful for them, but we need to take the time. It's worth every bit of the time you have today to be thankful for a good, godly mother. And so if you have your mother with you still, thank her today for being a good mother, and those that have passed will remember them and their good attributes that they had, and it's amazing how well that a good mother will always seem to kind of line up with Proverbs 31 and what they did and what you remember of them. So, and I understand there's another side to mothers. They got to be stern sometimes. Sometimes they make some hard decisions, but that's a mother, and that's not this perfect world that they got to live in. So thankful for mothers this morning. Let's stand. We'll be dismissed real quickly with this. Our Heavenly Father, we bow before you, and again, we thank you for a day that we can honor our mothers. We're thankful for them, the work, the life that they put out. Father, the struggles that they go through, and Father, what they teach, they instruct so many of us. And Father, we pray for that you would strengthen them, bless their day, be with their life, bless everyone that is a mother here. And be with her life and their attributes that you have given them and the role that, Father, you have given them to play. We ask all this in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.